Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins four lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Gimel. We open with a quote from the Mishnah. You'll notice that the main focus of the Gemara is not from the words that are printed in the text, but from what we've written in between the lines. So we see four lines from the bottom, Shvu Shelo Ochal, V'yochal pas chitin v'chule, if a person had sworn not to eat, and he ate different kinds of breads made from different grains, the Mishnah said he would be chayav only one violation. However, shvua shelo ochal, and this, notice we're reading from what we wrote in between the lines, if he swore not to eat, and he specifies pas chitinu, pas sorimu, pas koismin, he specified in the vow not to eat these three different types of grains of breads, V'ochal, and he ate all three, chayav al kol achas v'achas, he's chayav for each loaf, each type of grain that he ate. Now, as you look at our marked Gemaras, you notice a concentration of triangles that appear in alternating directions. And this marking scheme, you'll notice, continues to the top of Omid Beis. On the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei Mivneh heading, the topic heading, Mivneh, the structural note, you see a triangle featured, and we call this a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give and take of the Gemara. The word Vidilma will be highlighted with triangles whose point is facing up. Kushios al hodikotoni b'masnisin. These are questions on that which the Mishnah taught. Shvu shaloi oichal pas chitinu pasurim chayav al kol achas v'achas. The Betosefes pas, by adding the word pas to each phrase in his vow, have a chayav al kol achas v'achas. That makes it a separate shvua. Ulai hamila pas bo lematora acheres. Maybe the presence of the word pas has a different purpose, not to single out or separate each type of grain as constituting a separate shvua. The inverted triangle, havile lemeimar, are tshuvos, in other words, following each suggestion that is, an alternate suggestion to the Mishnah, the Gemara will respond, if your suggestion is correct, then it should have said something else. By the fact that the vower repeats the word pass each time in reference to a different grain, it is there lechalek, to separate the vowels, indicating a separate violation for each one. The Gemara, Vidilma lemiftar nafshe machre naisa kosi. Maybe his specification of the different kinds of breads was simply to say that if he were to eat another kind of bread, imagine rice bread or corn bread, that he would not be in violation. In other words, he's vowing specifically to prohibit himself from these three kinds of grains and not others. Gemara answers, Havile lemeimar, if his intention was simply to exclude others from his vow, he should have said chitin usurin v'kosman, that namely shvu shelo ochal chitin surin v'kosman, that he said pass each time. It shows us that he is adding separate individual shavuos. Question, v'dilma, the Gemara says not so, meaning had he said what you just suggested, I would have come out with a different idea. V'dilma lochus. In other words, he couldn't have said, like you just suggested, Shvur Shalo Ochal Chitim Serum Kaisman. Had he said that, I would have thought that he is swearing not to chew on the raw grains. Ah, so the fact that he used the word pas, maybe it's as we said before, simply to exclude other kinds of grains. He had to use the word pas for the purpose of excluding other grains, but not for the purpose of individualized separate shvuos. The Gemara says, Dehave le lemeimar, if his purpose was to exclude chewing raw grains, then he should have said, Pas chitim usorin v'kosmen. In other words, shvuos shelo ochal, pas chitim usorin v'kosmen. By having the word pas once, so that I understand that he's not coming, he's not vowing to prohibit himself from chewing raw grains. And why did he then add? Why did he add pas each time? That creates individual shavuos. So once again, if his whole purpose was simply to vow specific grains, breads of specific grains, and thereby exclude others from the vow, and at the same time he's not vowing against simply chewing raw grains, he should have said shvuah shelo ochal pas chitim v'sorim v'kosmen. Why does he add the word pas each time? As we said, to indicate individual separate shvuahs for each one. Question, v'dilma pas chitin lechol, sorin v'koismen lochus. According to your suggestion, he couldn't have said what we suggested, pas chitin, that shvuah shelo ochal pas chitin usorin v'koismen. That would have created a wrong impression. That would have led us to believe that he swears not to eat bread made of chitim and not to chew raw sorin and kosmin, different types of grains. And since he is not vowing with regard to the raw grains, he had to add the word pas each time because his vow was concerning the eating of breads made of these three grains. However, as far as pas being there for individual vows, that we don't see. The Gemara says, the Havi Leila Neymar, if he was simply coming to exclude the raw grains from the vow, so he should have said, pas chitin v'shel saurin v'shel kosmin. He didn't need to add the word pas each time if his whole purpose was simply to create a vow that is focused on the eating of these grains and excluding from prohibition breads made of other substances. All he should have said, all he would have said is pas chitin v'shel saurin v'shel kosmin. Why does he add the word pas to each grain? So it must be to create individual shavuos. More asks, we're at the top of Omid Beis. V'dilma al yedei taroves. The last suggestion isn't going to be effective, because had he said that he swears not to eat pas chitin v'shel saurin v'shel kosmin, that would have led us to believe that he's prohibiting himself from eating a type of bread made of all three grains mixed together. Mixed grain bread. So the addition of the word pas doesn't show me necessarily individual shavuos. All it shows me is that he's prohibiting himself from eating breads made of these pure grains, separate breads, and excluding from his vow other kinds. But I don't see yet individual oaths. The Gemara says, Ema, if his kavona was simply to memayate, to exclude a mixed bread made of mixed grains, in other words, if he wanted to vow prohibiting breads made of separate pure grains, and to exclude from his vow other kinds of breads, but did not have intentions of creating individual shvuas, he would have said, shvua shelo ochal pas chitin, v'chein shel sorim, v'chein shel kusmin. That would have accomplished what we had suggested otherwise. Pas pas lomali. Why does he use the word pas each time? Shma mino lechalik. It must be because through the adding of the word pas with each grain, pas chitin, pas sorin, pas kusmin, you are creating individual, separate shvuas. And if a person goes ahead and eats three different kinds of breads, he'll be guilty of having violated three different shvuas. We have a topic heading on the side, under the Nosei topic heading on the side. Lefi Mishnosenu, Pirut HaMashkin B'Shvua, Mechayvosu B'Shvua Al Kol Echad. Very similar to the discussion we just had regarding the breads, the Mishnah also has an example of itemized beverages, different kinds of beverages. And the purpose of that is that if he swears itemizing different beverages and he drinks then each one of those beverages, he's in violation of a separate oath for each one. Loma lo amrinon, why don't we say da hapirud bo rak lafuke mashke macherim avalo lechalek? Just like we said by the case of the breads, same thing is raised over here. Why don't we say that the itemization of the different beverages is simply to say these are what he is vowing not to drink, but other kinds of beverages he leaves permitted, he leaves open for himself? How is it so obvious, or how is it so conclusive from the Mishnah that this vower is creating separate vows? So now the Gemara, third line from the top. Shvua shelo eshte, v'shosa mashkin harbeinu chai velo achas. If a person vowed not to drink, then he drinks many different kinds of beverages. In his initial vow, he didn't itemize the beverages, so he's guilty of only one offense. Of course, if he drank all the different beverages in one state of lack of awareness, which we call helem echad. If he became aware that he had a vow in the interim, and that he had violated his vow, and he continues drinking, so then each one would be, in fact, a separate violation. However, we continue reading that which is between the lines. In other words, this is a quote from the Mishnah. Shvur shelo eshte yayin v'shemen utvash. He swears, and in his oath, he itemizes the different beverages. Chayav al kol achas v'achas. That represents a violation of several different oaths. A separate oath for each beverage itemized. The Gemara points out, Bishlam ha'osam damris miasrule pas pas l'chiyuva. I understand in the previous section of the Mishnah regarding the breads, the presence of the word pas each time is to mechayev, is to create a separate shvua for each kind of bread. Ela hocha mai have leila meimar dilmo lemiftar nafshemi mashkin achrini kosi. In the case of the beverages, you don't have a parallel like the word pas. What else could he have said? What proof is there in this vow that he is intending to prohibit himself from separate beverages with a separate vow? Maybe his itemizing the beverages was simply with the goal of saying, wine, oil, and honey, yayin, shemen, vash, these are the beverages I am vowing not to drink, but other things I do intend to drink. I do leave open for myself. Maybe that's the whole point of the Mishnah. Not, in other words, that's the point of the vower when he itemized the beverages, but not to indicate a separate vow for each beverage. Basically, we have the same kind of question as we saw in the previous Gemara, and structurally, also a similar type structure. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice that we have a trapezoid shape. This is a ma'akav. The narrow part facing upwards represents kushos, questions, and the inverted shape indicates tshuvos, responses. The house marking that you see is here to highlight the approaches of Rav Popo and later of Rav Acha, Breid Rav Ika. The question then is, why does the itemizing in the vow regarding beverages create separate shvuas when all the intent really is to leave open the permissibility of drinking substances that were not itemized? Omar Rav Papa, ha-ha, here in our Mishnah, b'munochim lefonov askinon. We're talking about a person that was standing in front of a table upon which these three beverages were sitting. There was a cup of wine, a cup of oil, and a cup of honey. If his kavona, if his intent was simply to exclude from prohibition other other beverages, shehoya lo lomar, then the vower should have said, shvua shelo eshte elu. He vows not to drink these. And the fact that he was mefarate anyway, that he specified anyway, even though he could have said this, that indicates lechalei, creating a separate shvua for each beverage. Question. The dilma, had he said shvua shloshta elu, I would have come up with an intent that he didn't really have. The dilma elu hu delo shosina, achrini shosina. Had he said shvua shloshta elu, that wouldn't have been effective in ossering and prohibiting these beverages and allowing others, because shvua shloshta elu could have conveyed that he doesn't intend to drink these specific cups of yayin, shemen, and vash, but other cups that are in his fridge, that are by his neighbor in the store, of other cups of wine, oil, and honey, he would be able to drink. So that if this person is intending to prohibit himself from drinking all wine, oil, and honey, this lashon wouldn't have been effective. Therefore, he's had to itemize the beverages. He itemized the beverages to say that not only the wine and oil and honey that's here I'm prohibiting on myself, but all wine, oil, and honey. But I don't see that his itemizing was to create a separate shvua for each one. Ela, now here the Rashash suggests a change girsa, and he does so also later in the Gemara as well. Ela de Yomar, if his intention was simply to prohibit himself from all yayin, shemen, and vash, he should have said shvua delo shosina kagon elu. He vows not to drink things like this, meaning all wine, honey, and oil. But he didn't say that. He said shvua shloshta, and he itemized them. He didn't say shalosh shosina kedigon elu. So what do we see? That he really is creating a separate shvua for each beverage. Question. Dilma, had he said shvua delo shosina kegain elu, I would have thought kegon elu, meaning this quantity. In other words, if each receptacle was filled with a half a cup of oil, a half a cup of honey, a half a cup of wine, having used this last suggestion, I would have thought that he's ossering himself from drinking half cups of oil, wine, and honey. That's kagon elu delo shosino, botsir me'achu tvei me'achi shosino, leaving open the possibility of drinking a little less, botsir a little less, tvei a little more. In other words, 3/4 of a cup of wine would still be all right. A quarter of a cup of wine would still be all right. So that this person who intends to prohibit himself from drinking all wine, oil, and honey, he had to itemize them. And he couldn't have said kigon elu. But as far as itemizing separate shvuas, I don't see that over here. Ela kagon de yomar. If this person's intention is simply to prohibit himself from all yayin shemen and dvash and allow himself other beverages, he should have said shvua shelo eshte mi min elu. The Gemara says, no, that wouldn't have been effective. V'dilma min eluhu delo shosino inu gufayu shosino. By making a vow of shvua shelo eshte mi min elu, I could have thought that he's vowing not to drink wine in general, oil in general, honey in general, but these specific cups of yayin, shemen, and vash, he will drink. And his intention is actually to ban them also. So that's why he itemized yayin, shemen, and vash, to prohibit not only in general, but these cups as well. But I still don't see from his itemizing a separate shavua for each one. Amar, well, if his intention was simply to ban all yayin, shemen, and vash and allow himself other beverages, he should have said, shelo eshte elu u mi nayhu. I swear not to drink these and their kind. That would have ossered all yayin, shemen, and vash, allowed him other varieties, other types of beverage. Why does he specify the names of the beverages? So that the answer to that is, as the Mishnah said, to create a separate shvua for each one. Rav Acha Breid Ravika Omar. He tells us that the Mishnah is talking about the following circumstance. B'misarev b'chavero askinon. There's a person who is putting, Misarev is putting pressure on his friend. The Omar lo, bo ushteimi yayin v'shemen udvash. Come, I want you to drink with me wine, oil, and honey. And the listener, the invitee, wants to resist. To hoyolo lomar, he should have said, shvua shel eshteimcha. I swear I'm not drinking with you. Yayin v'shemen udvash lomali, why does he itemize in his vow? L'chayev al kol achas v'achas. The result of his itemizing under these circumstances with the guy putting pressure on him is an indication that he's swearing a separate vow with regard to each beverage. Tanan hosam. Notice, by way of the markings, we have a long question followed by a long answer. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Benosaf al Chiluk Shvus, al Chiluk HaShvus, al Kol Echad Ve'echad Mehaprotim, Haim Yesh L'chayev Gam al Haklal, Kegoin Shvua Shelo Eshte, Uchremotzinu Machloikis Amoroim Binyin Zeh, Eitzel Shvus HaPikado. So here we have a question. It's not a one shouldn't get the impression that we're questioning that which we have been speaking about till now. So a new idea, a new question is raised here. In our case, we had someone that said shvua shelo eshte yayin shemen udvash. So it's clear from what we proved above that he is chayav of three separate shvuas. The question that we'll deal with now is he guilty a fourth shvua violation by the phrase shvua shelo eshte, or in the case before shvua shelo ochal, and he itemized pas chitin, pasur, and pas kusmin. Part of his statement was the opening general remark shvua shelo ochal. Is that a standalone, or is the shvua shelo ochal simply a phrase that's distributed amongst the three different kinds of grains that he mentioned with regard to the breads? And by eating three different types of breads, he'd be violating three shvuas. So that's the question. Now let's see it in the words of the Gemara. Tanan Hosam. We have a Tanaic source. This is a source that comes from the topic of a person in charge, charged with watching someone's items. And the owner comes and claims from the watchman or the bailey his items. And the owner specifies the items, and the owner responds that with an oath that he doesn't have the things. And then it turns out that he was lying. So we have a shomer, bailey, that is guilty of having lied under oath. How many korbanos will he have to bring after his confession? Tanan hasam, tein li fitim usarim v'kusman sheyesh li biyadcha. Owner claims, give me the wheat, barley, and kusman grain that I have that I've entrusted to you. First example of response is shvo shein l'cha biyadi klum. He swears, I don't have anything of yours. And then it turns out that he does. He was lying. Eino chayav elohachas. He's guilty of only one vow offense. Shvo shein l'cha biyadi. If the shomer responds, itemizing the things by saying shvo shein l'cha biyadi chitin usorim v'kusmin, chayov al kol achas v'achas, he is guilty for three different shvua violations. We should point out that when you are kofer, when you deny under oath having the property or the items of someone else, the denial would have to be to the tune of a pruta. We'll say that the minimum denomination of currency. With that in mind, V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan afilu pruta mikulon mitzarefes. Translated, that would mean even if you have to join up denial of each type of grain where the shomer had in total one pruta, meaning he had a third of a pruta of chitim, a third of a pruta of sarim, a third of a pruta of kosmin, the three fractions of pruta would join up to mechayev one korban. Pligi bo Rav Achov Ravina. Chad Omar aproti mechayev akloli lo mechayev. V'chad Omar akloli nami mechayev. One of the opinions holds that when it's discovered that he was lying, so he's chayev for the proti. He's chayev, in our case here, specifically of three shvuas. He's not guilty of a fourth shvua violation with his opening remark of shvua she'en l'cha biyadi before he started itemizing. The second opinion says he's chayev, in fact, for that as well, a fourth shvua. That is a machlokes amoroyim regarding the shvuas hashomrim, the shvua taken by the bailey. Hacha mai. What about over here? Will the amoroyim, Rav Achon Ravina, continue their machlokes, their controversy, with regard to someone who said shvua shelo ochal, and then he went on to itemize the different kinds of grains? Does the shvua shelo ochal opening constitute an additional separate shvua? The answer, and now it's a long answer. Amar Rava, hachi hashta. Rava says, how can you compare the topic of the shvuas hashomrim to our issue? Hasam, in the case of shvuas hapikadon, mechayev aklola u'mechayev aprota, one can see a position for saying that he's chayev for the general statement of shvuas shein l'cha biyadi, as well as a chiyuv for the individual shvuas, the individual items that he denied. Why? The ha'i mishtaba v'hadar mishtaba mechayev tarti. In the case of mamonus, because of financial matters, if the shomer would have sworn, I swear I have none of your wheat. And again he swears, I swear I have none of your wheat. He repeats the same oath. That's mishtaba v'hadar mishtaba. You know what? He would be chayev for each one. Each vow is considered kfiras mamon, generating a separate obligation, a separate violation. Hacha, isalta daitich, isa bechlola, aproti amay mechayev. If you are to think that there would be a shvua contained in that opening statement of shvua shelo ochal, that is a standalone, that it represents a binding oath. So when he says shvua shelo ochal, taking that on its own, so then he is restricting himself already from eating wheat bread, barley bread, and kusmin bread. Why then, would he be guilty at all on the individual shvuas that he mentioned? And yet we know that he's guilty for the individual shvuas that he mentioned. Everyone agrees that he's chayav at least three shvuas when he says shvuas shlocha pas chitin, pas sur, and pas kusmin. But why should he be chayav on those if the opening remark is a standalone shvuah? If the opening remark is a standalone shvuah, mushba v'oimed hu, he's already pre-restricted from the different grain breads. And as we've seen many times already in our recent shiurim, once you are pre-bound or pre-restricted, we call that mushba v'yoymeid, like we had mushba v'yoymeid v'mahar Sinai. Once you're pre-restricted, there's no room for a subsequent vow to take hold. So there's a fundamental difference between the case of kfiras mamon, where each time you're denying having the fellow's money, each time is the vow takes hold. So there's room to say that he's chayev for the general statement, and that doesn't preclude the subsequent detailed denials from taking hold. But in the case of eating, if the opening statement is a standalone, then there would be no room for the subsequent itemized kinds of food to take hold as separate vows, because he would have been mushmevod. And yet, as we said before, we know that he's chayav for each type of grain separately. It must be, therefore, that everyone would agree, when we say everyone, we were referring before to Rav Achan and Ravina, that both of them would agree that the opening statement of shvuah shelo ochal would not take hold, doesn't represent a separate shvuah. We continue in the Gemara. Shvua shlo ochal b'chulei ha gufa kashya. The Mishnah itself has an inherent difficulty. Amris, you say shvua shlo ochal v'yochal oichlim shein ruin lachila v'shosu masu shein ruin l'shtia potter. If a person swore he's not going to eat, and then he went ahead and ate things that are not fit, he drank beverages that aren't fit for consumption, he's exempt. V'hadar toni. And then in the Mishnah, it teaches shvuah shelo ochal, same opening shvuah, v'yochal nevelos, trefos, shkotz, rumosim, chayev. He ate things that are not fit for eating, things that are prohibited. And yet if he eats them, he is in violation. Maishno reisha de potter, umaishno seifa de chayev. The question is based on an assumption that nevelus trefus are equal to things that are einon ruyun lachila. So why in the resha is he exempt, and in the seifa he is in violation of the vow? The Gemara says, ha lo kashya. Take note of the marking. We have a diamond, and it's also, we have a numbering scheme as well. On the side of the Gemara, we have, under the Nosei Mivne heading, The diamond is featured shtei gishos liashiv stir mishosenu, two approaches to resolve the seeming contradiction in our Mishnah. Binyan oichlim shenem ruyim v'alachila im mischayev aleim b'shvua. For having vowed not to eat, then you eat these things that are not royal achila, are you in violation? Nosei kloli. We have also a note that we're going to be entering a general topic called a nosei kloli. What's the general topic? We're calling it isur kolel. Very briefly, we had alluded to this quite recently in our shiurim. The isur kolel is a situation where a person swears not to eat something that is basically prohibited. Is there any room for such a shvua to take hold? So basically, no, because he's mushbu v'yomei min ha-sinai. However, if in his oath he is kolel, he includes other things that are mutter for him to eat, and includes within that vow also forbidden things, so the forbidden things will be bound by the oath as well. And we call this, we didn't note this on the side of the Gemara, but this falls into the general category of Iser Chalal Iser. Something that is forbidden, can it become more forbidden? So that can someone who eats nevela, unslaughtered meat, be guilty of eating nevela and be guilty of violating a vow? Once it's usur as nevela, so there was room to say ein isur halal isur. It can't become more forbidden for him to become forbidden also of violating his vow. However, if you subscribe to the concept of isur kolel, so then the nevela will not be usur only as nevela, but also as a violation of his vow for someone who said shvua shelo ochal. The Gemara continues with the answer. What is the difference between in the Reisha, where after having vowed Shvu'a Shalochal and he eats unfit foods, he's exempt, and in the Seifa, he vows not to eat and he eats unfit foods, and we find him guilty of violating his vow? The Gemara answers, Halo Kasha, there is no difficulty. Reisha bestam, the Seifa b'meforish. In the Reisha, he vowed simply not to eat. He didn't specify what he wasn't going to eat. So in such a case, when he eats food that's not fit for eating, he's not in violation. He vowed not to eat, which would imply things that are fit for eating. If he ate things that are not fit for eating, he didn't violate his vow. However, in the Seifa, he specifies, he swears not to eat the velus and trefus, and when goes and eats them, he's in violation of his vow. The Gemara asks, Meforish Nami, Gufei Tikshi, Amai. Regarding that very case of specifying, why is he guilty though? Very nice he specified he vowed not to eat pig. Why, if he eats the pig, is he in violation of his vow? Mushpa Mehar Sinai Hu. He was pre-restricted by having accepted the Torah at Mount Sinai. He's already restricted from eating horse meat, eating unslaughtered meat. Why? By having vowed and specified that he swears not to eat horse meat, when he goes and eats it, why is he in violation of the vow? There was no room for his personal vow to take hold. The Gemara answers, and by the way, this piece of Gemara is a Gemara that's been repeated already numerous times in our recent Dapim, so it should look familiar. Rav Ushmuel Rav Yochanan de Amri, these three rabbis say, you know how the vow not to eat horse meat gets off the ground? But kailil dvorim hamutorim im dvorim hasurim. When he vowed not to eat the horse meat, his vow said he vows not to eat cake, not to drink milk, and not to eat horse meat. So since the vow not to eat cake takes hold, the vow also takes hold on the horse meat. For Reish Lakish Omar, Reish Lakish explains how can the vow concerning not to eat horse meat take hold? I ata moitse, you won't find the vow taking hold, elo, I bimeforesh chatzi shir baliba drapona. He swore not to eat a half olive quantity of nevela. That would be an explanation according to the Rabbanan that say that if he wouldn't have specified chatzi shiur, then the word ochal itself would have been mashma a kezias. And a kezias, a full olive quantity, in fact, he's already pre-restricted from, so the personal oath that he takes wouldn't have taken hold. So if he specifies, if he's mefaresh chatzi shiur, if he specifies, he swears not to eat a half olive quantity of horse meat, that vow will take hold. Another possibility, ibistam valiba de Rabbi Kiva, diyamar odom oiser atzmo bekolshu. According to Rabbi Kiva, by swearing not to eat horse meat, the word ochal, according to Rabbi Kiva, doesn't imply specifically a full olive quantity, but it includes also a kolshu. So that you're having made a personal vow not to eat horse meat, that includes the possibility of eating a mere morsel of it as part of your vow, and that's not something that you were pre-restricted from the Torah. At this point, the Gemara will ask, why does each one say what he does and not say like the other? This discussion will continue. If you scan ahead to Daf Chof Dalet Amud Aleph, you'll notice that we're using this squiggle underline highlight marking to highlight Bishlamo, according to this one, why he didn't say like the other one. Why did the other one not say like this one? Of course, we're referring to Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. So you'll notice, as we said, that this marking scheme continues down Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. So that be aware that even though we're in the context of a Daf Yomi schedule, we're going to be spilling over so as to not break up the ideas and the trend of thought in the middle of things, making it so much more difficult to pick it up in the next shiur. So now we continue. Bishlamo Reb Yochanan Lomar Kareish Lakish. And we appreciate Reb Yochanan's approach, the Kolel approach. He didn't choose Reish Lakish's approach. Demoikin lo lemasnisin kedivrei hakol. By using the Kolel approach, so he is setting up the Mishnah. He's explaining the Mishnah, avoiding any Tanaic controversy. He's avoiding. He's saying something that everyone would agree with. Kedivrei hakol. Ela Reish Lakish, my time alo omak Reb Yochanan. Why does Reish Lakish choose the analysis that he does by referring to the Chatzi Shiur and not accept the approach taken by Reb Yochanan of Kolel Dvorim Hamutorim im Dvorim Asurim? Omar Loch. Ki amrinon isur kolel, Reish Lakish tells us, yes, there is a concept of isur kolel, but that doesn't have relevance to our discussion. We continue at the top of Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. That's beisur habo me'elov. Beisur habo yedei atzmo lo amrinon. And now we'll give an example. Isur habo me'elov is someone who would eat nevela, unslaughtered meat, on Yom Kippur. Before Yom Kippur set in, the nevela, the unslaughtered meat, was prohibited. All other food substances, slaughtered meats, bread, milk, all kinds of other foods are allowed. Yom Kippur sets in. Yom Kippur, I'm sure everyone who's listening to this is aware that it's a day of fasting, that all food is off limits. When Yom Kippur sets in, so all the other previously permitted food items become prohibited, and along with their becoming prohibited by Yom Kippur, the nevela also falls under a Yom Kippur restriction. So, did the man have to do anything to create those prohibitions? No. That's ha'isur, prohibition ha'bor me'elav, it comes on its own. Yom Kippur sets in with sundown on the end of the 9th of Tishrei, leading into the 10th. Yom Kippur comes in on its own. You didn't do anything to bring in Yom Kippur. So that eating nevela on Yom Kippur would be a violation not only of having eaten nevela, which is a sin, but also having eaten on Yom Kippur. That's an example of Isur Kolel. With the onset of Yom Kippur, migu, since all other foods become usur, so the nevela becomes usur for eating as a Yom Kippur violation. The eating of nevela, which was already prohibited, also becomes usur as a Yom Kippur violation. So eating nevela on Yom Kippur is a double isur. It's isur halal isur. The eating of nevela on Yom Kippur represents a violation of nevela and a violation of Yom Kippur. However, an Isur Abaye de Asmo, a prohibition that comes through your imposing the prohibition, namely swearing that you're not going to do something, you're not going to eat something, that kind of Isur does not lend itself to the Isur Kolel. So that's why Reish Lakish did not adopt Rabbi Yochanan's approach. Rabbi Yochanan had said that the Shvua not to eat the Nevela was in the context of someone who had sworn not to eat legitimate foods, kosher foods, and also he swore not to eat Nevela. So since the oath covers, he swore not to eat bread, milk, and nevela, and since the oath takes hold on the bread and the milk, it also takes hold on the nevela. That was Rabbi Yochanan's approach. According to Reish Lakish, since you're dealing with a self-imposed prohibition, the kolel concept, the nevela won't be drawn along with the prohibition regarding the other foods. Bishlamo l'Reish Lakish. Now, here note the change in direction. Previously, the Gemara thought that the Rabbi Yochanan approach was more reasonable. Now, the Gemara opens with holding that the Reish Lakish approach is more reasonable. So, the Bishlamo l'Reish Lakish that set up the Mishnah as referring to Chatzi Shiur, Mishum Hachi Kopota Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon, who appears in the continuation of the Mishnah, where the person had said Shvua Shelo Ochal, and he ate the Nevelis and Trefis Kotsim Mosim, so in that context, Rabbi Shimon had disagreed and said Potter. The Tanakhama says Chayev, and Rabbi Shimon says Potter. So according to Reish Lakish's approach, that the Mishnah is taught in terms of Chatzi Shiur, Mishum Hochi Kopota Rabbi Shimon, therefore in the Mishnah, I understand why Rabbi Shimon appears as one who exempts the person who swore not to eat and he ate Shkotzim Uramosim, and the reason that the Chachomer Rechayev is because he swore not to eat a Chatzi Shiur of it. Rabbi Shimon holds that even with regard to Chatzi Shiur, you are pre-restricted from Mount Sinai. So if a person is pre-restricted from accepting the Torah that Chatzi Shiur is usur, you're spelling out in your oath, I swear not to eat a Chatzi Shiur of Nevela, there's no room for the Shvua to take hold. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says you're exempt for an oath violation had you sworn not to eat a Chatzi Shiur of Nevela. Disanya, Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Kolshu Lamakis. V'lo Amru Kizayas Elul Korban. You see, Rabbi Shimon says for eating a Kolshu of forbidden foods, a person will make himself liable to lashing. To give someone lashing he would have to be in violation of a Torah precept, unless, of course, otherwise stated. But we're dealing here with also basic malchus. Your basic punishment of malchus is for a violation of a Torah negative command. And Rav Shimon says, for eating kolshu, a chatzishira, you are liable. So that if you swear, I am not going to eat a chatzishira of nevela, there's no room for that oath to take place because you're already pre-restricted from the Torah. The concept of a kezias, of a full olive quantity, that has ramifications for bringing a sacrifice for the violation of eating certain forbidden foods. So as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, that the reason the Chachomim are mechayev someone who swore not to eat nevela is because he swore not to eat a chatzishir of nevela, that makes sense for us, and through that we also understand Rabbi Shimon's exemption. Elo the Rabbi Yochanan, my time of the Rabbi Shimon the Potar. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who explained that the Chachamim say he's chayav because he was kolel dvorim hamutorim with the dvorim asurim. Why does Rabbi Shimon exempt? The Gemara answers. Notice we have a long answer. Midi hu taimo elo mishum isur kolel. Is it not so, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the reason that the Tanakama is mechayev is only because he was kolel? He included mutter things along with the usur, the prohibited things. Rabbi Shimon, l'ta'ame, Rabbi Shimon's exemption is consistent with his opinion in general, the less la isur kolel. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from that concept of isur kolel, by prohibited things becoming more prohibited because you mentioned, because mutter things are also becoming prohibited. Disanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Oichel Nevela B'Yom HaKippur and Potter. Rabbi Shimon holds, if a person eats unslaughtered meat on Yom Kippur, he is exempt from a Yom Kippur violation. Potter means he doesn't have to bring a sin offering for having eaten on Yom Kippur. So there's a little word of irony over here, that if one wants to eat something on Yom Kippur and avoid the severe penalty of having violated Yom Kippur, it's better to eat unkosher food than to eat kosher food. By eating kosher food on Yom Kippur, so that's bound by the Yom Kippur restriction. By eating unkosher food on Yom Kippur, since it was usur even before Yom Kippur set in, according to Rabbi Shimon, it leaves no room for the Yom Kippur prohibition of setting in. It's already usur. Rabbi Shimon does not hold from the Isur Kolel. Rabbi Shimon does not say that once Yom Kippur sets in, since mutter food is now usur, the usur food is also going to become usur. He doesn't hold by that. Once again, Bishlam ala Reish Lakish, according to Reish Lakish, who set up the Chayev of the Chachomim through the Chatzi Shior analysis, namely, the Chatzi Shior is not something that you were previously prohibited from eating. You're not Mushbo V'yoymed Mehar Sinai. Mishkachas lo belavehen. And here this Gemara is very, very terse. Rashi gives a fair amount of background. And the required background here is the Pasuk in the Torah that deals with oaths mentions the expression lahara lahitif. And from that expression, in order for a shvua to be a binding shvua, it would have to be that kind of oath that could be stated in the positive, that I will do something, and also in the negative, that I will not do something. In the case of Reish Lakish's analysis, a person could swear that, again, according to Reish Lakish, that Chatzi Shior is, according to the Chachomim, he's not Mushbo V'yoymed Mehar Sinai. So you could say Shvua that he will eat a Chatzi Shior of Nevela, and that takes hold. He can swear he will not eat a Chatzi Shior of Nevela, and that also takes hold. That's what we mean by mishkachas lo belav vehein. It conforms to the rules of effective oath making, oaths that can be made in potential, in the positive and the negative. Elo l'Rav Yochanan bishlamo lav mishkachas lo. According to Rav Yochanan, who explained the Chachamim saying Chayav because he says the Shvua with regard to the Osir food, with regard to the unslaughtered meat and the treifus and the horse meat and all those forbidden things, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Shvua got off the ground because he included in his oath, he swears not to eat cake and milk and cheese and horse meat. So you can state that in the negative. However, how do you have that stated in the positive? Meaning, could a person possibly say he swears to eat cheese and horse meat? The vow with regard to swearing to eat nevelus and treifus and shkutzim and remasim, that's a vow that doesn't get off the ground because he's already usher in eating those things. He's, through vowing to eat that, he's contradicting the Torah. So, as let's read that line again. I can formulate the Shvua in a kolel form in the negative. You're not running against the Torah. But to state the vow in terms of eating the Velus and Shlutus in a positive, and I will eat it, how can that Shvua get off the ground? How can you swear to contradict that which you're commanded for in the Torah? So with this, we go into a new approach. Elo kidarova. And here, we must take advantage of Rashi. Elo kidarova. Rashi, you'll find in the middle of the wide lines. And he says, "Velo goras mishkachas kedarava v'hochi pirusha." Says not to have in the text mishkachas lo kedarava, which we don't have anyway. V'hochi pirusha, and thusly we are to explain things. Lo tishni li'el kushyo dereisha v'seifa kan b'stam kan b'meforish. Here we're told not to use the approach that we saw before when we were trying to resolve the Reisha and the Seifa. We said, Kan v'stam kan v'forish. That, you'll note, by the way, is where you have the Roman numeral number 1 at the lower part of Chof Gimel Amud Beis. We said that if you were, the first approach was Shvuah Shelo Ochal, he swore simply in general not to eat, then you're exempt when you eat unfit things. However, if you were meforesh, if you specify the forbidden things, then the Shvuah takes hold. Here, we're telling you, don't use that approach. Rashi continues, Ela kula bistam. The entire Mishnah, the Reisha and the Seifa, is where he said Shvuah Shelo Ochal without specifying. The Reisha made reference to food that's not fit for eating. Kidarova mifrasha. It's explained as Rava explains it. Kagoin afar. Dirt. What is oichlin shein ruin lachila? Dirt. Shein roi lachila. Dirt is not fit for eating. So that if a person had sworn not to eat, and he eats dvarim sheinan ruin lachila, i.e., he eats dirt, he's exempt. Avon nevelus ruyas lachila hein v'ayahu deravi alayu. Unslaughtered meat, that's fit for eating. It's just that there's a lion lying on top of it. What do we mean by that? There's a Torah prohibition that says don't eat this kind of food that is, technically speaking, food. Fasu lo kashya midi the Rabbi Yochanan. And resolving the Mishnah and explaining the Reisha as referring to dirt and the Seifa as referring to unkosher food, there's no problem with explaining Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishkachas lo belav vehein. Fi'af b'shiur sholem. You can set up the vow in the positive and the negative, and even if you're discussing a full quantity. Daha lo ochal stama komar. The person vowed not to eat. Didn't say what. Im ochal nevela chayav. If he eats nevela, he's guilty of violating the vow. Share kolal b'stamo dvar mutam basurim. By saying he's not going to eat, he's including all kinds of food substances, things that are mutter, things that are prohibited. Umitsiri asur mayadei kolel. And the forbidden food substances become usur through the kolel mechanism that we described earlier. The hain mishkachas lo, the idea of shvua she ochal in the positive, as opposed to shelo ochal, which is the lav. The hain means in the positive. Toho ochal stam komar. When he says shvua she ochal, that also can take hold. Umekayim shvua subidvar mutorim. Vim lo ochal chayav. If he swears to eat, so that shvua will take hold, and he would be then expected to eat mutter food, and if he doesn't eat the allowed, the permitted food, he's then in violation of his shvua. So the shvua shelo ochal can be stated in the negative, shvua shelo ochal can be stated in the positive, shvua shelo ochal. If he's had sworn shvua shelo ochal, and he eats nevelas and trefas, he's chayav. That's through the kolel mechanism. That very same shvua, but in the positive, shvua she'ochal, that would be fulfilled by his eating mutter food. So now we turn to the Gemara and read. Elo kidurova d'yoma rova, shvua shelo ochal, v'ochal ofar, potter. Notice how terse the Gemara is after having read all of Rashi's explanation, but with this we go back to Chof Gimel Omid Beis, and the Reisha, which had ended with the word Potter that you can see squiggle underlined, he had sworn Shvul Shelo Ochal, he swore not to eat, and he ate dirt. He's not in violation of the Shvuah. Dirt does not constitute something that he had, that the original vow would have covered in its restriction. As far as the Seifa is concerned, Shvuah Shelo Ochal, and he ate Nevelis and Trefus, why is he Chayav? He's Chayav because of the Kolel element. Can Shvuah Shelo Ochal be stated in the positive as well, naming Shvuah Shelo Ochal? Yes, and there he would be expected to eat kosher type food in order not to violate his shvua. Omar Rav Mori Af Ana Nami Tanina. We have a Tanaic basis for describing nevelos as something that essentially as roi la'achila, and hence nevelos didn't figure. In the Reisha, where the Reisha spoke about Oichlim She'ein Ruin La'achila, and he eats those things Oichlim She'ein Ruin La'achila does not include Nevela. Why? Because Nevela, as we just explained in the Gemara, and we explained through Rashi, Nevela is considered something that's Roi La'achila. And Rav Mori says, you can see that in the following Mishnah quote. Our Mishnah, Koina Mishti Nenisli Imochalti Hayom. Man swore that he will not benefit from his wife if he ate something today. The Ochal Nevelus Atreifish Gotzer Muslim. It turns out that he ate these forbidden foods. Hare Ishto Asuralo. His wife is forbidden to him. What do we see from here? His vow had said, Im ochalti hayom. If he ate something, and he ate these forbidden foods, that's considered a, we'll say, a fulfillment of the conditions of this vow. Showing us that the consumption of nevelis and treifas is called achila. It's something called achila, hence it's something that's roi l'achila. Something that is edible. The Gemara, though, is not convinced with this proof. Hochi hashta. How can you use this as a proof that nevelis and treifas is something that's called roi l'achila? Hasam, in this situation of kainim ishti, nenesli, kevon de me'ikora ocha bahadar ishtabale, since, in terms of order of events, he had eaten before he vowed, he had eaten the nevelis and treifas. And then he made his oath. With regard to this person, this kind of situation, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Chashuve Achshave. He imparted to the nevelis and treifas, to the usher food, to the forbidden food, importance. He imparted to it importance, giving it the status of food. Knowing that he had eaten the nevelis and treifas, and then went and vowed that his wife will be ushered him if he had eaten those things that he had eaten. So he has imparted significance to the nevelis and treifas that wouldn't be so in general. Elohacha mi achshavei, but a person who initially swears, he says shvua she shelo ochal, and he then eats these forbidden foods. When he vowed, he hadn't eaten anything yet. So when he vowed, he had not imparted any importance to the nevelis and treifas. So that I don't see from the case of kainim ishti nesli imochalti, I don't see from that case proof that in general nevelis and treifas is considered roi la'achila. Before we conclude, let us first glance at Rashi at the top, who adds just a little detail that's what we'll all appreciate. Chashuve achshave, where he had first eaten the nevelis and then stated the vow not to benefit from his wife. If he had eaten, he was achshave ba'achilosai. He's granting significance to his eating, the gila al atzmo, and he's revealing about himself, she'eno kutz b'hem, that he's not disgusted by the nevelis and the treifas, by the ham and the horse meat. He's not disgusted by the lobster and all those things. However, as we said before, had he first vowed and then eaten those things, the lobster and the crab and the shrimp and the ham, it's not necessarily something that we would categorize as roi l'achila. Before we conclude our shir, let us remind you, if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.